what meaning that they have for us. So what does it mean? As we look through the scriptures, we discover that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, refers to three different kingdoms. One is the kingdom of power, the second is the kingdom of grace, the third is the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of power is God ruling over everything. All people, the whole world is involved in the kingdom of power. So really, that kingdom comes whether we pray for it or not. So what are we praying for? We're praying for the kingdom of grace to come. We're praying for the kingdom of glory to come. The kingdom of grace, God's undeserved love and mercy, God seeing our sinful condition, our problems, our worries, our selfishness, and comes with his message of love and forgiveness, of going to the cross, of rising from the dead, and inviting us, in fact, inviting all people to come and be part of that kingdom. And so the Lord calls upon us, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, to come and to be part of that kingdom. He wants all to be part of it. How's that going to happen? Well, not necessarily through the angels, but through you and me. Those that he has called to be part of it, those who have come to believe in Jesus as their Savior. And so the call for us to go out. Can we do it with joy in our hearts? If you haven't been employed for a number of months and you've been searching for a job, what a joy when finally that call comes to say, hey, we'd like you to report to work on Monday morning. And our whole attitude towards life changes. Guess what? This is the King calling to us and saying, I've got a job for you. And so as we pray this prayer, it's an evangelism prayer. You know, interesting that this kingdom is also what John the Baptist talked about as he began his ministry, also what Jesus talked about when he began his ministry. Each saying, repent, believe the good news of the gospel, because the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is near. And so the Lord calling us to go out as we're part of his kingdom, that's our marching orders. I want you who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit to be the ones to go and tell. Go and disciple, go and share this good news that others can hear and believe and be saved. And we may have the attitude, well, there's no one to talk to. The whole nation's Christian anyway. Would it surprise you to find out that there are 75 million people in the United States of America who don't have a church home, who don't trust in and worship the Lord, who are not followers of his? And so as Jesus says, the fields are white unto harvest. And so for the call for us to go and tell, go and invite them to come and meet Jesus. And so can we see this, even as we pray this prayer, as a challenge to each of us, as an encouragement to each of us, within this next year, Got 11 months yet, but within this year, to go to someone who is not a believer and not a worshiper of the Lord and invite them to meet Jesus. To go to at least one person, and maybe the joy will be so fulfilling in you that you'll want to go to two people or lots more people, but to invite them to come and believe, to come and hear the message, to hear about what does the cross of Jesus really mean, that he died to take care of all sins of mankind. What does the resurrection of Jesus mean for us, for them? A well-known military leader by the name of General Gordon had gone to a Muslim man and asked him if he could hire him to be his servant. And the man said, no. And the reason is because I know that you will make me into being a Christian. General Gordon said, I won't even talk about Jesus. I won't talk about religion at all. I just want to hire you to be my servant. And he said, no, because I know that even though you don't speak a word of it, you will entice me to become a Christian just by your way of living. And I don't want to be a Christian. Now, sad that he never wanted to become a Christian, but wow. What a description of that man. Would that description be of us to say, you know, just by being with them, just by living with them, I'm called to become a Christian. Praying this prayer also becomes a prayer for missions. To taking the message to the world. I just came upon some statistics this last week that said that there are 2.1 billion Christians in the world, more than any other religion or followers. 2.1. However, you know, with there being over 8 billion people in the world, what does that mean? That means that only a quarter or three quarters of the world's population is without hope, without faith, without Jesus as their Savior. What a call for us. Is it going to cost us anything? Well, it'll cost us some time. It'll cost us some effort. It's going to cost our pocketbook if we want to be supporting missions. Is it worth it? Jesus thought it was worth it. Worth it so much that he went to the cross, that he went through all that suffering, that he gave up his life, that others may hear and believe and be saved. I've been reading quite a bit about Christians in lots of other countries who are being persecuted just for the fact that they're Christian. And they go through beatings, they go through imprisonment, they go through maybe even having their home or their hut burned up. And yet, they say it's all worth it. That when they get released from prison, they go right back to telling others about Jesus and their Christian faith because of the joy that they have and because of what they want for other people to have. Is that what we want too? Or are we just mocking ourselves or even mocking God when we pray this petition and say, thy kingdom come? Do we really want it to come if it's going to cost us something? Well, we as a big church body support missions and missionaries. We have the Lutheran Hour to take the word across the nations. We have Lutheran Bible translators to get God's word into other languages so that those people can hear it, that they can read it in their own language. And in a recent publication that came from them, shared the sad story again, where people who finally get the Bible in their language are so excited about it and the joy, and they say to the translator, "So how old were you when you finally had the Bible in your language?" And they say, "Well, I had it all my life." "Well, but what age were your parents then when they finally got it, and the joy that they had?" "Well, they had it all their life, and my grandparents had it all their life." And the sad thing that people say is, then, why did it take you so long to get that message to us? My parents never had a chance to hear that message, to believe in Jesus, or my grandparents. And so the question comes to us, do we care enough to be supporting missions and missionaries and Bible translators to get that message to the world? Thy kingdom come, the kingdom of grace, but also the kingdom of glory. Heaven itself. Can we say with St. Paul, "I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better"? Or do we say, "Wait a minute, I'm not ready to leave this life. I've got plans. I've got things that I really want to accomplish or to do"? Or can we truly pray, "Lord, I'm ready to go home to be with you"? Wow, the glory of heaven, the magnificence of it all, to be there with the Lord, to see Jesus and the nail prints in his hands, to hear the choir of angels. And it just goes on and on. Nothing in this life compares with it. No more sin. Can you imagine a life without sin? No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. But to be there with the Lord, with loved ones who have died in the faith forever. This morning, we as members of the kingdom of God get to receive a special meal from the Lord. A meal in which he assures us of his love, a love so great that he went to the cross to take care of our sins, to offer us complete forgiveness for any and all sins, to give us the assurance of our forgiveness, as he says, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins." The assurance of his presence. "This is," not this was, but "this is my body and blood." All that we might go forth in joy to live as his people, and truly to mean it when we pray, "Thy kingdom come." I ask you to turn to your bulletin, either in the worship form as we've been going through, or in the front, where it has the catechism explanation of this petition. I'll read the petition and the questions, and you respond with the answers. Thy kingdom come. What does this mean?
The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also.
How is God's name kept holy?
God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity.
May this body or may this word of God continue to comfort, to strengthen, to encourage, to guide you in your living. Amen.